Hi there. Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson, and our show today is on the science of sound healing. And our intention is that sound healing may come into the mainstream so that we can heal ourselves again and heal each other and take our power back from the doctors that don't really know what the hell they're doing anyway, and be able to work within all the frequencies and sounds that are within our body to be able to heal ourselves emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. That's our intention. But before we get started, I'd like to tell you about some things happening at the school. Actually, not too much happening over the break here, over the Christmas break, but starting again January 20th, actually, first of all, January 18th, we're having an open house at the Institute from 1 to 6. So we'll be doing a lot of different sound healing meditations, playing with crystal bowls and voice and all different types of things, including tuning forks. And we'll be putting people on sound chairs and sound tables and such, vibrating people into bliss. So if you can make it, come on over. And if you can only come for a short time, that's fine. And then a couple of days after that, our new semester starts on January 20th. We've got the certificate and associate degree program in sound healing and sound therapy starting on the 20th. The certificate program is 3.5 months. And it's all about how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We've got about a dozen instructors, so you get a wide perspective on everything as to all the different instruments that you can use for sound healing, including the voice being the main one. And we do toning, chanting, mantras, some of the science. We do a lot of shamanic work on the full range, so you can really tune into which aspect you really resonate with the most. In the second, third, and fourth semester, we go into much more depth, and the whole school is called the Sound and Consciousness Institute because sound is just a tool, and the whole key is, what the hell are you going to do with the tool? Well, it's about raising consciousness, and a lot of the aspect of raising consciousness is to understand what consciousness is in the first place. And no one agrees. There's a lot of different perspectives. So what we try to do is give you a wide range of all the different perspectives on consciousness and how you might raise your consciousness through sound. Because the whole key with sound is to really get to a high enough level so that you are given the keys by spirit to be able to do whatever you need to do to heal yourself, to heal others, or to heal the planet for that matter. So that's really the whole key, is learning how to expand maybe a little bit faster than you're already doing right now. So that's the degree program. We go into different aspects of consciousness. We even have a rabbi. Actually, we have the second semester of the degree program also starting in January as well, and we actually have the rabbi that teaches a class on the Kabbalah and sound and consciousness, and he goes through all the different frequencies within the Tree of Life. We've got an instructor that teaches about using crystals, the frequency of crystals, so you can set up a crystal grid. We have an instructor, Vicki Dodd, who uses the voice. She's been around since the beginning of sound healing. She's a master, and she's going to be doing a weekend workshop. And then also within the second semester, we have Liz Addison doing a whole class on sound and the Akashic Records, how to access the Akashic Records, where all information about all lives is available. So that's the sound healing certificate and second semester program, but both are going on. And we also have the audio production program where you can learn how to run Pro Tools, or if you're interested in Ableton Live or Logic Audio, you could use those programs. And it's all about how to record, mix, produce, and create music that's very effective, music that includes information on specific frequencies and what they do to specific, you know, frequencies, even around chakras, also creating binaural beats to entrain the brain into delta, theta, alpha within the music. We do a lot of, you know, little tricks and show you a lot of tricks within the audio program besides learning how to just run the software. That also starts January 20th. We have both programs, audio and sound healing, starting online. I think it's actually starting the about September 13th or no, September, let's see, no, it would be September 13th before the online program. Actually, the sound healing program starts September 6th, now that I think about it. Sound healing online program starts September 6th. The audio program starts September 20th. I'm sorry, 13th. So we do them online. It works really well with live instructors. We do toning, chanting, and mantras. With the audio program, you can actually see the software on your screen that we're working with, and you can hear us mixing in real time. So it's really quite an ideal situation if you can't make it out here. All of those classes are available, or information is at soundhealingcenter.com. We also have the summer intensive coming up in June. I think it's June 8th, June 7th or 8th. We've got a two-week intensive every day and night, and so that's another option if you're out of town. We've also got the summer intensive for the audio program starting at the end of June, which is like just 4 or 5 weeks where you can just come out and do it. So you could actually do the sound healing intensive and then the audio intensive immediately after. Also at the end of June, we've got the Mount Shasta retreat that we do every year, just to let you know about some things coming up in the future. We're also planning on a big concert around the 1st of March, Sound of Love concert, another one of those. That's just some of the things happening. We still have the store. If you have any things you still need to get for Christmas, we've got the store is online at soundoflove.com. We've got all different types of crystal bowls and technologies and instruments, full range of things that are really interesting. You can listen to all the bowls online as well. A lot of different stuff we have there. It's here at the Institute as well. And we've got the physical store here as well. So you can come in. We're open Tuesday to Saturday, 11 to 5. We also do treatments online. We do. We can find your soul frequency, where you're at peace. We can find what's out of balance as far as using a voice analysis. We can do toning and voice healing on you. Emmanuel is a master at it and has worked with many people and has gotten rid of, a lot of people say that their cancer is gone after having treatments with Emmanuel. So you can find that at soundtherapycenter.com. Actually, you can find it at soundhealingcenter.com as well. And one other thing is we sell sound chairs. We call it the Sound Lounge. It's actually a chair, mat, bed, and you can use it in a lot of different ways. And we're just starting to hire salespeople and reps to sell those around the nation. If you're interested at all, let me know. You can call me at 415-777-2486. Or you can also find the information about the sound tables and chairs online at Sound Healing. Actually, if you go to soundoflove.com and then look for the tables there, and Sound Lounge, and check those out as well. So, you know, because we're opening this major business and selling the sound lounges, which are so effective. Oh my God, of all the things in sound healing, it's my favorite, and I've checked out a lot, you know, to get on the sound table and be vibrated with these subwoofers in the chair or on a massage table. We've got the chair and the massage table. The chair is actually lays down as well. But to be vibrated by these powerful speakers is really unbelievably effective. Really unbelievably effective. So we started collecting, we're putting together a brochure for it, and we're updating our website big time on it. So we started looking at all the research out there. Also, last week, or a couple of months ago, we submitted a proposal to go on Dr. Oz, and they got back to us, and they want to know about all the research papers in the field of sound healing, and also for sound tables as well. So we've been, for the last month, we've been looking for all the research out there, and it's eventually all going to be on our webpage where we have our research foundation, which is geneom, geneom.com. There's some information already on some research project we're doing to find the frequency of every part of the body, from cells to organs to endocrine glands to the soul. And that's at geneom.com as well. So we've been putting together all this research, and it will be on the site, but I wanted to talk about some of it because this is partially what's going to help bring it into the mainstream, but also it occurred to me the main thing about sharing this is it really gives you a much more in-depth idea of how sound really affects us. And the research is profound. There's some really amazing research out there. First of all, we've got, we've got three main areas as to how sound manifests in these three different areas. It affects us in different ways. The first is frequencies, and there's very little research about how different frequencies, or even little bit on tones and timbres and musical instrument sounds, but there's very little on what frequencies do what. There's some intuitive stuff out there, and there's different charts that people have put out, and there's some research that had been done by the Germans years ago, and then there's the Rife frequencies that were quite well researched, but the Rife frequencies are electromagnetic frequencies. So if you change them into sound, they're not quite as effective. They still do affect you, but nothing like the electromagnetic frequencies. So those are kind of the German frequencies, or the Sima frequencies that the CDs that we sell. And so they're really the most effective. But even with both of these, we don't really know precisely how the research was done. You know, I mean, even though these frequencies that we have are quite effective, we still don't really know precisely, I mean, how did they test them? I mean, for every disease and every organ, I mean, what did they do? They just played 1,000 frequencies or 20,000 frequencies until the issue disappeared? I mean, that's the problem with studying frequencies. There's 20,000 of them. 20,000 of them. There's even frequencies in between frequencies, so it gets to be infinite very quickly, you know, and it's hard to check every single one, you know. So that's why whenever anybody says that a certain frequency does a certain thing, I'm always a little bit suspicious. Because also, maybe a certain frequency will do a different thing to you than it will to me. Maybe it will work for you, but not for me. You know, I mean, who's to say that the same frequency is needed for every person? So there's so much to be done in that field. And there is very little research as to actual frequencies. The second level is music. As far as music, there is a huge amount of research. I mean, the research for music is, the Music Therapy Association started doing research in 1909. They've had a research foundation since 1909. So there's a lot about how music affects you on all different levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, but not spiritually. Because how do you test, how do you do research on spiritual stuff? You know, it's like you can't, I mean, you can just say anecdotally what, you know, people say. You know, it's like, oh, I went into full contact with God, you know. I mean, but you can't prove God. It's kind of silly, huh? But you can't. You can't prove soul. Can't even prove, hardly prove chakras. You know, I mean, it's like in science, if you start talking about chakras, they think you're woo-woo. So, but there is still a lot of research in the area of music. Then there's the third area of intention. Now, there is actually a lot of research on intention. In fact, there's an entire book called The Intention Experiment by Len McTaggart. And she goes through all the different research that talks about using intention and, or actually does experiments on using intention and proving it. And it's basically is proven. I mean, the most important research project ever done was in a place like Yale, I think it's Yale or Harvard, and they have studied 1.2 million? It's like up in the millions of people that have done this test where they bring them in and they play zeros and ones out of a computer. The computer streams zeros and ones. And whenever no one's around over a period of time, it always, the zeros and ones always average out to 50-50. So they brought in people and said, okay, use your intention to change the zeros and ones coming out of this computer. And over 20 years, 1.2 or 2.2 million, I forget, a lot of people, they have statistically proven that you can change the zeros and ones with just your mind. It's not even close to random. Or it's beyond what would be random. It's actual proof that they're definitely changing it. And that's major. That's so major. They even found that a couple that's really tuned into each other can change the zeros and ones even more than just one person. And there's been tons and tons of other experiments. There's one at UC California Pacific here in San Francisco where they did distance healing, and they really did the research very precisely to rule out any variables, which is really tricky when you're doing energy research because there's so many possibilities of things that can affect it. And they proved that you can do distance healing, and it absolutely has a positive effect if you have a positive intention. There's been thousands of other little experiments that aren't necessarily so well put together or not necessarily done on thousands of people that have proven that intention works, but, you know, so they're not as good as experiments. But, goodness, you add it all up, and it is very clear that intention does work. I mean, it is proven. It's scientific fact, for that matter. Although it's so funny, scientific fact doesn't really do much for a lot of people. whatever people's beliefs are, they found, are rarely changed by scientific fact. And that's really interesting. And so there's only so much you can do with science, because a lot of people aren't going to believe things anyway, even if it is proven. But we still keep chipping away by doing as much research as possible. So, first of all, when it comes to science, one of the most basic aspects of sound healing is that everything is vibration. This is a scientific fact. Everything vibrates. Even physical matter is vibrating at simply a slower rate. So everything is vibration, and every single thing in the universe has its own physical or own rate of vibration that it vibrates at. It's not, as we've talked about, it's not just its vibration rate, its main vibration rate. That's the most important thing, its main vibration rate. But the truth is, just about everything has multiple vibrations in it. It's not just one frequency. And all these higher other vibrations within anything, whether it is a sound or physical matter or geometry or even a thought form, all these other vibrations that contribute to the complexity of what something is are called harmonics. They are simply higher frequencies that are added in to the main frequency that create the more complexity. It's like that creates the personality of who we are. You know, it's the personality of whatever something is. It's the personality of that particular material, whether it's metal, wood, air, fire, water, any of those materials is going to have its own complexity. There's plenty of different types of materials within each of those categories. And it's the harmonics that make the difference within it. So it's the combination of materials, which is simply called a timbre or a tone in sound. So that's the most basic component of science, is that everything has a frequency or multiple frequencies that make up what it is. And that's how things are defined in science, is the combination of frequencies. It's just like a molecule. The exact definition of a molecule is what combinations of frequencies, atoms, are making up the molecule. Every element has its own frequency. Oxygen has a frequency. That's how the different elements are defined, is by their vibrational rate. So if you got water, you got two frequencies of hydrogen and one frequency of oxygen, and that makes up the water. So it's just a combination of harmonics, just a combination of frequencies. So that's the most basic. Now, the way you change the world, and I've talked about this a lot, is with the next law of physics, and that is that a strong frequency, which could be a consistent frequency or a loud, powerful frequency, either consistent or loud or powerful, will overcome a weaker frequency and cause the weaker to vibrate at the same frequency as the stronger. And that's how the whole world works. And in fact, that is exactly how cells work and neurons work. The neuron, the electrochemical reaction is it goes traveling through the neuron and hits another neuron, and when it hits it, it transfers its vibration into the other one. And whichever one is stronger is the one that transfers the most to the other. And so that's the whole mechanism for even energy transfer, is one strong frequency overcoming a weaker and causing the next one. It's how electricity flows. You know, it's like the flow down a wire is simply the electron, one electron overcoming the next electron and then moving on to the next one, right? So it's the way we change the world. It's the way we heal. I mean, all pharmaceuticals are simply a strong vibration overcoming a weaker one in the body. Every single sound we make is a vibration that can overcome something that is incoherent or out of alignment with spirit within us. So it's all about creating a vibration that is more consistent and more stable to, it's really harmony. What we're talking about is really creating more harmony, because that's what creates and sustains life and health, is harmony. Chaos, there's a bit of chaos in there. Chaos often breaks us down. But, you know, there's also chaos can work with the harmony to create diversification that makes us unique and different as well. But often the chaos is the part that breaks it. I mean, it's like stress is simply chaos. That's the chaos. And our body starts resonating with that stronger frequency and starts doing instead of the normal coherent rhythm of our heart, tum 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 tum, or our brain waves, or any spirit energy within us, such as universal love. All of these other vibrations that are really stable within us get thrown off by all this stress and fear. Oh my God, fear is the big one. It's interesting because looking at the fear mechanism in the body, it actually goes through the amygdala. And that's really interesting because the amygdala goes to every organ in the body, especially to the adrenals, which are going, okay, do I need to run? That's the biggest one. That's the main thing for fear is, do I need to run? Do I need more energy to run? If so, here comes the adrenaline, right? And it's interesting because that vibration that's coming in, I mean, what does fear sound like? And what's interesting is the fear doesn't come from outside. That's an interesting one to think about. The fear doesn't come from outside. There is the fear energy, I think, in the etheric field or in the astral field around us. You know, it's like I feel it when I'm in the city. But even so, it's like, there has to be this, generally it's a thought. Well, maybe there is some resonance of fear coming in. If you're just standing next to somebody in fear, you can pick it up. Yeah. But often, for the most part, fear is a thought. You going, I could be in trouble with this. I could run out of money. I could be hurt. I could lose a relationship. And it's the thought of the possibility in the future. And that vibration goes into the amygdala and creates an actual chaotic vibration within your body. And all of these other vibrations of gratitude, compassion, love, connection to source, connection to your soul, those are all harmony, harmonious frequencies that create stability and peace in your system, which allows your system to just heal itself and hum along, just hum along, right? So we've got all these different levels of how it works. There's the one sound, a strong vibration overcoming a weaker vibration. But, you know, when you look into it in more depth, there's a lot of research, and I want to share some of the research that we've come across here just recently. But before we do, I want to play some of the Sima frequencies. We're just talking about fear and fear going into the adrenals and wiping out the adrenals. That's one of the biggest problems we have. Probably the number one, I would guess, is fear going into the adrenals. The adrenals going, there's a lion here, putting out adrenaline over and over and over all day long, or enough through the day that after a while the adrenals are burnt out. They've like, we've put out all our adrenaline, we don't have any more, quit asking us. When we keep asking and the adrenals go, I don't have any more. I don't have any more adrenaline. And then what happens is the kidneys go, I'll help with that problem. And the kidneys eventually get burnt out and they go, And then the whole system kicks in, going, And before you know it, we've got some disease or fibromyalgia or you're dead. Because it's no harmony. So the whole trick is, when people say the opposite, it's either fear or love. It's a little more complex than that, but still, the love is the harmony that totally calms down the adrenals going, But we've also got frequencies for the adrenals. These are the frequencies from the Germans that I mentioned, the Sima frequencies that we sell on CD. So let me play a little bit of the adrenals. Maybe we'll play about a minute of it. And it's just frequency. It's not music. So just allow these frequencies that you'll be hearing to go into your adrenals. If you want, if you're on phone or on, if you're on the computer, if you have any speakers, you can put, or you're listening on headphones especially, if you can put these headphones or speakers right on your adrenals, that could be really cool, because that's the way we do this, is with these frequencies, you put the headphones right on the body. But if you just listen to it through your ears, it will get to your adrenals. So bring these frequencies into your adrenals and let them regenerate and heal. This is the frequencies for adrenals. it's interesting. You know, this is the new medicine is where we just simply play frequencies into the body. In fact, the whole next research project that we want to do is find the actual frequency of every pharmaceutical there is. And that's really the trick, is so we can replace the pharmaceuticals and refine them so that, and this is the whole deal, so that the frequencies we're playing into the body or whatever we're putting to the body do not have collateral damage. So they're more specific to the issue, right down to the frequency of the issue. And there's two ways you can do this. You can do it based on the frequency of what is right, so you can find the frequency that, or combination of frequencies that are right for a specific organ when it's healthy, and then play those combinations of frequencies to the cell or organ or part of the body or limb or whatever part of the body it is, play it the frequencies of when it would actually be healthy. And that resonates it into health. The other way to go about it is to find the frequency of what's getting in the way of it being healthy, which is often starts as an emotion. And there's very specific science as to how different emotions translate into physiological responses. So we can address it from two different areas. We can address the frequency of the emotional issue, the emotional blockage that's getting in the way of the health. Or we can address it from the physical result of the emotion that's causing the blockage. So we can look at the blockage as a disease or, you know, just the way the stress manifests in the body or tension. And then the trick is to find that frequency of what's getting in the way and break it up. And there's many ways you can break it up. You can break it up by matching the frequency of the blockage, and then often the body's natural healing response kicks in. But you can also use power to actually break up or explode the blockage. And that would be the example of breaking up a cell that is like a cancer cell. You find the resonant frequency of it, and you just turn up the volume until that cell explodes. You know, so you could do it that way as well. Now, so those are the different approaches. Now, I want to share some of the stuff in as far as music research that we've come across here. First of all, for pain relief, overall music does have positive effects on pain management. Music can help reduce both the sensation and distress of chronic pain and post-operative pain. We actually have a few CDs for pain, that especially the sound table. There's nothing better than the sound table for pain. But there's other music we have with a lot of bass in it. Generally, the more bass you have, the better it is for pain, and the more it takes you into a zone as well. Listening to music can reduce chronic pain from a range of painful conditions, including osteoarthritis, disc problems, and rheumatoid arthritis by up to 21%, and depression by up to 25%, according to a paper in the latest UK-based Journal of Advanced Nursing. This is all, every one of these quotes that I'm reading right here have actual research papers backing it up. Okay, music therapy is increasingly used in hospitals to reduce the need for medication during childbirth, to decrease post-operative pain. Even Mitchell Gaynor, who's going to be at our next sound healing conference in September, actually uses CDs during surgery and post-op. We have post-op CDs ourselves. and they decrease postoperative pain and complement the use of anesthesia during surgery. We have CDs for surgery as well. There are several theories about how music positively affects perceived pain. Music produces a revulsive effect. Music may give the patient a sense of control. Music causes the body to release endorphins to counteract pain. Slow music relaxes by slowing breathing and heartbeat. Reducing blood pressure. By playing recordings of relaxing music, people with high blood pressure can train themselves to lower their blood pressure and keep it low. According to research reported at the American Society of Hypertension meeting in New Orleans, listening to just 30 minutes of classical Celtic or raga music every day may significantly reduce high blood pressure. I mean, God, look at all the blood pressure drugs out there that are killing people, you know, when we could just be doing this and make it more of a science. Medicine for the heart. Music is good for your heart. Research shows it is musical tempo rather than style that's good. Italian and British researchers recruited young and men, women, half of whom were trained musicians. The participants slipped on headphones and listened to six styles of music, including rap and classical pieces, with random two-minute pauses. As the participants kicked back and listened, the researchers monitored their breathing, heart rate, and blood pressure. The participants had faster heart and breathing rates when they listened to lively music. When the music slowed, then their breathing rate slowed. Some results were surprising. During the pauses, heart and breathing rates normalized or reached more optimal levels. Whether or not person liked the style of music did not matter. The tempo or pace of the music had the greatest effect on relaxation. There's also post-stroke recovery. Pop melodies, classical music, or jazz can speed recovery from debilitating strokes, according to the latest research. When stroke patients in Finland listen to music for a couple of hours each day, verbal memory and attention span improve significantly compared to patients who received no musical stimulation, who listened only to stories and read out loud, the study reports. Recent research has shown that music listened to after stroke not only promotes behavioral recovery, but also induces fine-grained neuroanatomical changes in the recovering brain. It's amazing, you know, the proven effects. Music can help migraine and chronic headaches sufferers reduce the intensity, frequency, and duration of the headaches. Two research projects that prove this. We actually have a song for headaches that is being used in Boston General Hospital and Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. Music boosts the immune function. Scientists explain that a particular type of music can create a positive and profound emotional experience, which leads to the secretion of immune-boosting hormones. This helps contribute to reduction in the factors responsible for illness. Listening to music or singing can also decrease levels of stress-related hormone cortisol. Higher levels of cortisol can lead to a decreased immune response. Anti-seizure effect. The latest 2014 study revealed that listening to Mozart K-448, the sonata for two pianos in D major, reduced the seizure recurrence and epileptiform discharges in children's epilepsy. The anti-epileptic effect of Mozart's sonata has been earlier demonstrated by Taiwanese scientists. Wow. Using music therapy during childbirth decreased postnatal anxiety and pain, increased the satisfaction with childbirth, and reduced the likelihood of postpartum depression in a research project. In another research project, music therapy in an early stage of tinnitus can prevent tinnitus from becoming a chronic condition. Music enhances intelligence, learning, and IQ helps with has the power to enhance some kinds of higher brain function. It helps with reading and literacy skills, spatial temporal reasoning, mathematical abilities. Even children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder benefit in mathematics tests from listening to music beforehand. And it helps with emotional intelligence. There are research projects on each one of these. In fact, multiple research projects on each one of these. It also improves memory performance. Music improves concentration and attention. Music improves physical performance. For athletes, choosing music that motivates you will make it easier to start moving, walking, dancing, or any other type of exercise that you enjoy. But it also reduces the feeling of fatigue, increase in levels of psychological arousal, physiological relaxation response, improvement in motor coordination. It improves productivity. Those who listen to music while they work, how about you? Well, you can perform better at your work with music. According to a report in the Journal of Neuroscience of Behavior and Physiology, a person's ability to recognize visual images, including letters and numbers, is faster when either rock or classical music is playing in the background. And music helps sleep. We have a few CDs for sleep that we sell. Relaxing classical music is a safe, cheap, and easy way to beat insomnia. Only problem, it's hard to find some really relaxing classical music. There's a lot of classical music that's not that relaxing. Many people who suffer from insomnia find that Bach music helps them. Researchers have shown that just 45 minutes of relaxing music before bedtime can make for a restful night. Relaxing music reduces sympathetic nervous system activity, decreases anxiety, blood pressure, heart and respiratory rate, and may have positive effects on sleep via muscle relaxation and distraction from thoughts. And it goes on and on. It's really, music is proven in research to decrease depression. And this is not even talking about very specific illnesses. I mean, we have Emmanuel, who's 65 people now say their cancer is gone, and they claim that it has to do with the treatments from Emmanuel with his voice. You know, it's really quite profound. So what I want to end with is some music to help get you in this zone, to affect you emotionally, physically, physiologically, mentally, as far as brainwaves, and spiritually. I want to play the Chakra Star, which is the a journey of about 1 minute through each chakra, from the root chakra, the second, third, fourth, all the way to the crown. And we'll end with that. And then hold that energy and the intention that we bring sound healing into the mainstream and we take our power back to heal ourselves again like we did in ancient times and to heal each other without collateral damage. Thanks for listening. And enjoy this chakra journey, chakra stuff.